Indie icons, the Libertines, are one of the most influential British bands of the 21st century. The chart-topping self-titled 2004 album and its singles, including Can't Stand Me Now, What Became of the Likely Lads and Don't Look Back Into the Sun, have become modern-day classics. And after an hiatus in the mid-noughties, the band returned with huge gigs at Glastonbury, Leeds and Reading, and a third chart-smashing album in 2015 with Anthems of a Doomed Youth. They're now celebrating their 20th anniversary, I can't believe I'm even saying that, performing their biggest UK tour to date in 2017 with 7 arena shows, finishing at the O2 in London earlier this year. And they've got lots of festivals and other dates, and they've got a Seaside Towns tour coming up at the end of the year. There'll be full details of all that on all our websites. But before all that, the big one, the Libertines are going to be opening and headlining the main stage at Sheffield's weekend-long Tramlines Urban Music Festival, which is on Friday, July the 21st, and it's at 8:45 p.m. There are still a few tickets left, but they're going to go very quickly. And particularly when you've heard who I'm going to be talking to now, to tell us all about it. And my special phone guest today is the Libertines drummer, Gary Powell. So, Gary, tell me, what can fans expect at Tramlines?
I don't know, after listening to all of that, what can I expect at Tramlines? Were you actually just talking about us?
All about you, yeah, but we've had 20...
Well, me over, not anybody else, crikey.
Well, listen, we've got 20 years to talk about here. Where's that gone?
I don't remember last week, let alone 20 years ago. What can we expect at Tramlines? I don't know, it's going to be a little less pomposity than we've all become accustomed to now. And a lot of fun and hilarity for one and all. Hopefully embroiled in a blanket of emotionally charged dynamic music. That is the one thing about a Lib show, and I hope this isn't just kind of like just spouting nonsense that I've heard a million times before. You know, that type of rhetoric that you hear from bands about, you know, the way they have their performance. But our performances are kind of like somewhat. It's kind of like kinetically charged between us and the audience, without the audience actually becoming involved. And a Liberty show is absolutely nothing. You know, when the cry was made at Hyde Park in 2014, you are all Libertines. That was actually meant with all sincerity. The Libertines are absolutely nothing without the supporters of our friends. I'd go as far as to actually call them friends, because I don't believe actually we have any fans as much as we have people who are part and parcel of the whole journey that we've taken over the past, I'm going to say 4 years instead of 20 years, because it makes it sound like
It is a family though, isn't it? Yeah, it is a family atmosphere anytime you go to a Libertines gig. But, you know, in terms of the set list, I guess that fans are going to get all the hits, aren't they? They're all going to be in there?
Yeah, I reckon so, yeah. You know, because usually I'm kind of charged with sorting out the set lists for the majority of the shows. So there will be, for the majority, all of the hits, all of the hits of it. Everybody can hopefully have a nice, good old-fashioned single on. But without actually standing around too much thinking whether they like this new track or not. I mean, because we are actually in the process of writing new stuff for a new album, which should be out at some stage next year. But we're not actually in a position to, a tidbit here or there could actually be revealed at some stage. I mean, with us, let's say, it usually is at some stage. It just kind of just manages to creep out of the crevices at some stage prior to release. Albeit we did pretty well with Anthems of a Doomed Youth.
So what we're saying is that fans could actually get to hear something quite new then at Tramlines.
With us, there's always the possibility. There is always the possibility of sneaking a little bit of something new in there, just so that people actually get to grips with whatever direction that we'll be taking next. It's never too far off the beaten track.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something a little bit new kind of added to the party to keep people as emotionally engaged as we possibly can do.
Well, you know, Gary, I'm still thinking that Anthems for a Doomed Youth is still relatively new, but it's like a couple of years old now, so it's great to know that you're working on another album, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you about that album, though. I mean, obviously there was like 11 years between the last album and that one. I mean, were there any anxious moments, how it might be received, and how did you feel to get another smash hit?
To be honest, to be honest, we didn't really think about it because we were on the road for so long, and then just enjoying the company of everybody that actually turned up to the shows. That whether it was a smash hit or not, I mean, I don't actually know whether it actually was a smash hit. I know
it was number three in the charts.
Were happy, and they were happy to actually advance us another deal so we can continue on this merry treadmill that we're in at the moment. But whether it was actually a smash hit, I mean, it depends on how you actually gauge what a smash hit actually is. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if it was a smash hit for us, maybe then we would like sit on our laurels and go, yeah, we've done it. Yeah, we've done it. To smash it, we've done great. But as far as we're concerned, it's another chapter in the book of Albion, basically. That's pretty much all it is for us. It's not better. It's not any worse. It's another leaf to be taken and utilized in with reference to us actually moving forward and whatever we do next. It all means something. You know, if this is more of a hit than the previous albums, then why do we enjoy playing the previous albums as much as this album?
Yeah,
you know, and as you already said, there's a long time in between the first two albums and the last album. But we're as emotionally engaged with both previous albums as we are with this one. And in fact, even more so, I'm sure there are tracks that we would actually like to investigate even more of the new album that we just never really had the time to actually properly connect with and playing live because of the time constraints that were actually thrown at us with reference to touring. And then also kind of like being modern gentlemen. And Pete living outside of France, and John living in Denmark, and me and Carl doing whatever he's doing, and me doing whatever I'm doing. You know, everybody just equally as busy because we all just have a love of music. So even when we're not doing the Libertines, there's always. So I'm sat in my studio now, trying to sort stuff out to continue work on this merry trip that we're taking. And it's just, you know, it's not about, you know, about sitting on our laurels and enjoying the fact that, you know, we had a success. I mean, you know, if anything, the problems that we more than likely were going to face were just the problems of communication. I mean, we mend a lot of bridges with reference to how the perception of how we kind of ended our little journey back in 2004, 2005. And prior to Hyde Park, everybody was in a great space, and we'd grown a lot as well. We'd all experienced a lot from life, and had the opportunity to actually look back and see what mistakes had been made by all of us. I mean, it's not one direction. We all made mistakes with reference to how we treated each other. And because of that, we're all able to look at each other with adults and say, look, mate, I'm sorry. I was unused to the scenario. I was young. I was stupid. I was afraid. But now we're kind of like in a better space, and we all understand the rules of engagement. With reference to each other, and how to move forward. But that still didn't actually change the way that we may treat each other in the studio. So that was a concern at first, which dissipated kind of straight away. As soon as we started speaking to each other, everybody brought their own approaches to the studio, their own approaches to life in general, into that environment, and everybody's opinion was listened to, and it made the whole working environment really, really simple. Because first and foremost, we were friends before we were a band, and the friendship kind of shone through, and time and history and learning from our mistakes has taught us all to be better people with regards to how we speak to each other. So,
yeah, and you're all in a good place now. You've got a good future together, and Libertines are going to be here forever and ever. Amen.
That's the thing. It's the unwritten rule about the Libs. You never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Well, we do know that.
I'd like to think that at the least we will all be amazing friends for the rest of our lives, for the rest of our time on this.
Yeah, and you've already left a great, you've already got a great legacy of music behind you, and it's great to know that you're not just actually resting on your laurels and that you're looking at new material and moving forward. When can we expect the new album out? Have you got a title? Can you tell us anything about it?
Hopefully we'll have something out at some stage in the spring next year. In the spring, when kings and knights go to war.
Brilliant.
I'm just talking nonsense. That's what I do.
All right. Well, listen.
Yeah, hopefully early next spring.
You continue to attract a new generation of fans and inspire a new generation of bands as well. I mean, I've got to mention the fact that you've got a local tie-in here in Sheffield, Reverend and the Makers and the Sherlocks. They've been supporting you. I mean, what do you reckon of what's emerging out of Sheffield? We've got a great legacy of music.
Emerging out of Sheffield. Sheffield doesn't emerge. Sheffield's been there for chuffing ages. Sheffield has been a bastion of great music since the dawn of time, and especially with reference to, you know, what Britain can bring out. I mean, everybody seems to spend so much time. Very easy for me to say they sat in London, but everybody spends so much time saying that London is a bastion of all musical knowledge and all musical kind of prowess in this country. And it's not. It is areas like Sheffield. It is areas like Birmingham. It is areas like Wolverhampton. You know, it is definitely areas like Liverpool and Manchester. Well, Manchester's kind of supposedly a bit with London anyway. But, you know, but Sheffield has always been a haven of great music. Heaven 17 and the likes came directly out of Sheffield. David Sylvian. He didn't come out of Sheffield.
Well, you know,
there's lots and lots of great music that has historically come out of Sheffield.
I go back to Dave Berry, Joe Cocker, Def Leppard, Heaven 17, ABC, Human League, Pulp, Arctic Monkeys, Melbourne.
But I know that Sheffield, you know, just, don't get me wrong. I'm still a huge fan of the Arctics. I love the Arctics. And Reverend, he's just, as far as I'm concerned, he's literally one of the best lyricists this country has ever come up with, as far as I'm concerned, that is bar none. John Reverend is just a genius.
Oh, that's lovely, Gary. I'll pass that message on to him. I'm sure he'll love to know that.
Sherlock has a great new band as well. Hopefully, he has a great future ahead of him. There's lots of great things emerging from Sheffield right now, but that's not to say that Sheffield hasn't always been at the pinnacle of great music.
Well, the thing about Tramlines, it's going to feature about 300 plus bands. There's lots of fringe elements as well.
All helping. Banger, 300 bands.
About 300 bands over the weekend, yeah. And then there'll be lots of fringe events, so it could be another 200 on top of that. I mean,
maybe food.
Yeah. I mean,
it's better be, because I'm going to be hungry by the end of it.
Well, it's crazy, but I mean, it's great to see so much emerging music. How important is it to have festivals like Tramlines to be able to give people that break?
Oh, it is. It is because let's face it. You know, it's not the fault of any festival, but by any stretch of the imagination. But there comes a point when you outgrow the simple ideas that you have, and then you actually want to aspire to greater things, and with that comes endorsement, sponsorship, finance. And then once that actually happens, you seem to kind of lose, most festivals, they kind of lose, you know, their original intent. And because of the money and because of the association that actually then follows. So it makes it very, very difficult for festivals in the early stages or fringe festivals to actually maintain their initial integrity because of the finance that is actually needed. And because then you have people who assume they actually know better than you, who actually want, you know, want a festival to be perceived in a particular light because of their association. Mm. When they seem to forget that the reason that they were involved in the endeavor in the first place is because whoever set it up first was doing a damn good job.
And they
all forget that. They all of a sudden seem to, you know, they think they know better than the guys who actually came up, who conceived, you know, the fringe festival, the notion in the first place, and which is really annoying. And unfortunately, it just kind of happens way too much. So hopefully, I know Tramline isn't particularly that new. It's been around for a little while, but you know, in the annals of all of your larger festivals within the UK, it is still somewhat new. Hopefully, it will actually maintain its integrity. It will gain the funding that it actually needs without actually having to lose a little bit of its soul. And if that happens, then hopefully bigger and better things will continue for Tramlines and Sheffield in general, because obviously it's going to be a great economic boost for Sheffield, having all of these different things, these different touristic leisure interpreted things coming to the city.
Well, it is, Gary, and to be honest with you, you know, the reason for successful festivals are having great acts, and the Libertines, I mean, there's a real buzz in Sheffield that we've actually got you here to actually come and play it. Has it been on your radar for a little while? Have you thought about playing Tramlines before? Is it something you definitely wanted to do?
I haven't actually really thought about wanting to do it, but I've always wanted to come up to it, but we've always been stupidly busy.
Yeah.
Because it just looks like one of those festivals that you know, it feels almost kind of like Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
You know, in that everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
But it seemed to manage to maintain its own integrity without actually having the pomposity of big money coming in and people with stupid churlish ideas, so you know, being thrown into the pot to ruin it, you know, the overall integrity of. And the festival, so it's always been something that I've always wanted to come up.
Well,
I've DJed in Sheffield a bunch of times, the Plug, and other places, and I know the integrity of the people there, and for the majority, everybody there likes to just have a great time and is willing to kind of be open and honest and free with their ideas and talk and hang out and listen to new things, and you know, it's not what I would call a one horse town with reference to. Musical and creative ideologies. It's very, very open to new and fresh ideas. So it's definitely something that I've wanted to come and check out, just so I can actually steal some ideas.
Well, it's amazing that you found time. I mean, I'm just going to remind people that, I mean, all four of you have had your own individual projects, and just remind people, you've actually drummed for Eddie Grant. I think you did the New York Dolls back in 2004, obviously for Dirty Pretty Things with Carl. But more recently, you've actually been drumming for Ska Band The Specials, where the UJ's Ghost Town and Too Much Too Young. How much fun is that?
Literally, just the end of last week, just come back from touring the States with The Specials, and we played the Hollywood Bowl, which was kind of huge. I'm still doing that. I'm going to be back out with The Specials again, post a few Libertines gigs. So, you know, there's still things going on with that as well. When, you know, that, again, is an honour to play with the legendary like Peter Hall and Horace Padser and Linville Golding, you know, who actually changed changed ideology, the way that people would actually think on a socio-economic level.
Gary, I've got to ask: do the social the solo projects, do they help keep the Libertines band together?
Yeah, absolutely, totally. Totally, because it's, you know, for me, I can only talk to myself with reference to this, but it's all a learning curve, and everything that we do, we have to forget that every day is a school day, and that if you go by the notion that you know it all, then there isn't any point in actually continuing doing what you're doing anyway. So you can actually learn from everybody around you, and the opportunity to play music of the Specials. I mean, you know, they're kind of, I always deem them to be like a ska band per se. They're not really a ska band. I mean, they play as much kind of they play as much rock and roll as they do ska. You know, they were one of the bands that actually changed the landscape of British music because of their musical approach. It wasn't one sided. It wasn't looking at it from a singular point of view. All of the members of the Specials at any given point like different genres of music, and they all kind of utilize that within their arsenal to actually create what is the genre that the Specials are. And it's not one-sided. It's not ska. Everybody seems to think that it's ska, but it's not ska. I mean, you know, Rat Race, the track Rat Race is nothing like ska whatsoever. 1-2 is not, Concrete Jungle, that's kind of ska-esque, but it's a little bit more rock-esque.
Yeah.
There are so many different tracks in there that come from different frames of mind, from different points of view.
Well, it's funny you said that, because
frame of thought, especially when you come back to the Libertines, we're deemed to be a punk band, but I don't see us as being a punk band as much as a band that has different musical points of views that we actually want to actually bring forward to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I were about to say, you know, that the Libertines have been described as indie rock, garage rock, revival, post punk revival and punk rock influences. But to describe your own sound then, how would you describe it?
Without being lame, I'd say it's alternative.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, you know, I think it is the epitome of being alternative, because we do look at things from a completely different point of view.
Absolutely.
If you just look at it from our own singular point of view, from one track to another, there are different tempos, there's different emotional dynamics, there's different attacks, different approaches to it, different tempos. There's a lot of similarities between it. But the only reason that there are similarities in the music that we do is because it's still the four of us playing it, and we can only approach each piece of music from particular vantage points, but we still approach them as differently as we possibly can do to give each track its own emotional integrity.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, listen, I could speak to you all day, but I know time's pressing, but I just want to mention that you will be back, actually, in our area towards the autumn time. You're doing this fantastically named tour called the Tiddly Om Pom Tour. Or is it the Tiddly Om Pom Pom Tour? It's all about wanting to enjoy being by the seaside anyway. You're doing 7 British seaside towns. And you're going to be at Blackpool, Hull, Plymouth, Scarborough, Lowestoft, Margate and Brighton. Sounds fantastic, but you're a big city, big arena band. Why play seaside towns?
Well, you find that we're like a small to medium-sized venue more than we are a big arena band. I mean, we've played arenas for maybe 1 year.
Yeah.
And how long has the band been around? We've been around for a lot, much longer than that. So those small little enclaves around the country, we have more history of actually playing that than playing large venues in big cities. You know, in most of the cities that we've played in, we've probably played in one large venue in each of those cities. We've played in a plethora of different small venues around the country. So it kind of makes sense for us to actually keep grounded, stick to our roots, and play shows that will actually, you know, place us pretty much in the arms of the audience that will be there with us. So, we can hopefully continue on, you know, the supposed mythology of no barriers between us and the guys that will actually be turning up to see us. And the seaside aspect of things is kind of, I think that for me goes kind of twofold. I mean, if we look at places like, from a socioeconomic point of view, look at places like Blackpool and maybe Scarborough, who have been completely ignored by the bastions that are the British political elite and local council with reference to funding, and they've been left to kind of like fend for themselves while there'll be other areas, other cities are actually reaping the benefit of local funding and government and European assistance, whereas, you know, a lot of seaside towns, they just don't get that, they don't have that assistance. And we will, at some stage, be moving, hopefully, into a seaside town of our own to do a little bit of recording and living when we move into our own little spot in Margate. So we are going to be deemed domicile residents of a seaside town ourselves.
Fantastic!
So it only makes fair for us to actually be reciprocal and share the love.
Well, listen, Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and I really can't wait for this concert. I've just got to remind people that you're going to be opening and headlining the main stage at Sheffield's weekend-long Tramlines Urban Music Festival, and that's on Friday, July the 21st. So, Gary, thank you for your time. Can't wait to see you in Sheffield.
Absolute pleasure. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Sheffield as well. Make sure you come by and say how do you do, to everybody that will be coming. I hope to see you all soon. Liberties, friends, fans, one and all. Catch you guys later.
Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
All the best. Thank you very much, Cap. Catch you later. Goodbye.